Hey guys, and welcome back to another Diamond Discussion Short alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. Now, honestly, I think this is the moment and the short or episode that we've all been waiting for. This is the first edition of the Subway series for 2025. I don't know about you, Joe, but I'm through the roof about this.
Yeah, I mean, like, we were just talking about this off air and how kind of a little bit of spiciness now. It's, you know, it was a little bit of a lull, you know, it was kind of like Yankees, Red Sox, or Mets, Braves. There wasn't that fire. There wasn't that excitement. And now, honestly, because Soto went to the Mets, it's a little bit spicy again. And both teams are in first place, which is a beautiful thing. It's great for baseball, great for the city. And what a way to, you know, roll into the weekend. I think it's going to be awesome. And I'm really excited. I haven't been this excited for Yankees, Mets in a very long time.
Yeah, you know, I was a little taken back by all this because I thought all this hype was because of Clay Holmes returning to, you know, to the Bronx. But I guess it's because of Soto, and I guess that's rightfully so. You know, this should be a very interesting series. You and I have been looking this up on multiple different apps, platforms, websites, everything. And every pitching matchup outside of the game one is very different. On one of my apps, I saw there's not even a starter listed for either team on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sunday, it's listed that it was going to be Peterson and Clark Schmidt. And then I'm seeing on MLB.com that Sunday is going to be Peterson and Max Fried. I'm seeing on MLB.com that Saturday could be Griffin Canning and Clark Schmidt instead. And we're going to open with Tylor Megill versus Carlos Rodon, which I think is a very good way to start this because – I don't know if I feel like the Subway Series always kind of goes the same way to some extent. I feel like that first game is always really tight and everybody's, you know, playing, you know, it's always like a one run or two run game really at most. Maybe I'm wrong or I just feel that way. And then I always feel like game two is like a blowout on one side or the other. And then game three kind of goes back to that game one, very tight and something dramatic ends up happening.
So I agree with you 100%. I actually, it's the over-under is 9. For tomorrow. And the over is actually plus 100. So the favorite is to go under. So either Vegas knows something and pound the over.
Yeah.
or go, you know, go with your gut and take the under. I like the under because I think like you had just kind of mentioned, those first three or four innings, I feel like they're gonna be very tense. I think it's gonna be a lot of, you know, high intensity pitches, high intensity plays. High intensity at bats. So I could really see it being 0-0 going into the fourth or fifth inning. So I kind of like the under. I kind of like tomorrow is going to be the first person that makes a mistake, whether it's a pitcher or defense, something like that. It's going to cost them the game. And then, like you said, Saturday, like, the floodgates could open and we could have like a 7-6 game. You know what I mean? So I personally think the under hits tomorrow more than the over, but we'll see what happens. I like Megill. I like Rodon tomorrow. I think they're both very similar. They have very similar numbers. They don't walk a lot of batters. They strike out a lot of batters. Rodon's whip is under 1, and Megill's whip is barely over 1. So I could see a low scoring game. I could see like a 4-3 game or 3-2 game. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's what the outcome was tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, like you had mentioned, you know, the under and everything with the, you said it was 9 runs. That is interesting. I could maybe see like a 5-4 win or a 4-3. I could see something like that. And I'll be honest with you, I can see either side of that taking game one.
Me too. Obviously. That's a toss-up. I can't, other than the Fried game, I like the matchup a little bit better. Fried does go Sunday. And who's slated to start Sunday? Is it Cannon?
Peterson.
No pushover, but I like that pitching matchup a little bit better for the Yankees. But yeah, the first two games, I can't tell you honestly who it's going to be a stroke of luck for either team, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? As far as Peterson goes against the Yankees have hit left-handed pitching a little bit better than they've hit right-handers. Obviously, they've been more exposed to right-handers, so it's a little different. I think it's about almost 1,100 at bats compared to about 400 versus lefties. But their average is about 20 points higher, and that obviously would play a role with Paul Goldschmidt, a.k.a. Oldie, which I don't care how good he's playing. I'm still running with that. So, you know, I'm a one-man army when it comes to it, but it is what it is. And, of course, the freak, Aaron Judge, who destroys left-handed pitching. He destroys any pitching. It really doesn't matter. That's going to be an interesting game, especially if this series is split going into that Sunday.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, Max Fried has amazing numbers against the Mets. He's faced them a ton, you know, so he knows how to deal with all that, you know. But it could be different. You know, this could be – it's Subway Series time. This is totally different. It's not Atlanta Mets. This is Mets-Yankees. This is a totally different animal. And let's see if, you know, some of these guys – some of these newbies to this are up to the task.
It's bragging rights for the city. And, you know, and then you got the Knicks potentially clinching a game six to go to the Eastern Conference Final. So it's going to be it's going to be a crazy weekend when it comes to New York sports. But that's the beauty of this. The Subway Series was supposed to be that series where you get to talk smack with your friends. You have those big debates during lunchtime at your job or wherever you're at. And, you know, I really think, like I said, Soto going to the Mets really is going to put a little bit of a spark into the series for the next 3 or 4 years at least, you know, until he gets solidified as a Met a little bit. It's probably going to wear off. But these next 3 or 4 series in the next two to three years are going to be must-see baseball. And I think it's great. And when they're playing well, it makes it even better. So the Yankees are on top of their division. The Mets are on top of their division. So that's what you kind of want. You don't want to see one team coming into this slumping. You don't want to see two teams slumping because then it's like a boring product. So you got two good teams playing well, pitching well. And both teams, if you look at them offensively, defensively, and pitching-wise, they're all in the top 10, both teams. So this is going to be two powerhouses basically clashing. And this could be a potential World Series matchup that you see in May, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's what we all wanted last year. Unfortunately, the Mets couldn't fend off the Dodgers for that. And that could have been a very interesting World Series. I really don't know how that would have played out.
It would have went seven.
That would have been insane.
I think it would have went seven.
That would have been honestly insane. Crazy. If that would have played out that way. You know, and then, you know, who knows? Maybe that would have added to the Juan Soto drama.
Yeah, because I think the Mets were hot enough to get to at least a 6 or 7 game series, and I think it would have been crazy. It would have been wild.
You know what? I like the Mets' chances in that situation. I know they probably gave up more runs than the Yankees did in the Dodgers series, but I just like the grit that went along with the Mets. It was like anytime, for the most part, I mean, I didn't like how they pitched in that series. I don't want to deep dive this too much, but if going into that Yankee series with the way the Mets would respond to run being scored on the other side, their offense, Mark Vientos in particular, who's starting to heat up now, thank God, and another guy, Brett Beatty. So, I mean, the Yankees are going to have a lot of guys in this Mets lineup that they're going to have to, you know, keep under wraps. You know, I know Starling Marte for the Mets in the past in this Subway Series has come up with a couple of big hits. I know he won a game, I think it was 2 years ago when the Cole started at Citi Field. He was actually there. He hit like a walk-off single. That ended it. You know, there are a lot of guys, Lindor and Stanton, they had that big battle a few years ago. I think that was the weekend of 9/11. You know, there's been some very huge moments. It's fairly recently. And I'll be honest with you, Lindor, to me, that was the moment that made him a New York Met. When, like, it was toe-to-toe with Stanton. They're arguing. They're chirping back and forth. I know Javi Baez was involved in that. But when is Javi Baez not involved in some drama on the field? you know, but that was, like, a toe-to-toe moment. And then Lindor came up and ended up winning the game with his third home run of the night, flexing his muscles, rounding the bases. To me, that was the moment that made him a Met. You know, to do that against the Yankees, to kind of shut up Stanton, that was awesome from my perspective. But obviously, the big elephant in the room, or the big dollar sign in the room, however you want to look at it, Juan Soto makes his return to the Bronx, and I am seeing nonstop back and forth on Instagram, Twitter, everything about how Yankee fans are going to perceive this, what they're going to do. Soto made some comments as well, basically saying that it's 50,000 versus one. Now, people have critiqued that and said, well, there are going to be some Met fans there. All right, dude, we get the point. Like, you know what he's trying to say. Stop right. It. Like, now we're gonna dissect every little word.
See, and now tomorrow is Saturday and Sunday to me would be the only three times that I will warrant Juan Soto boos, disses, whatever you want to call it. Anything before it or after it, it made no sense to me as a Yankee fan. I don't think it made sense, obviously, to Met fans. Like we've both seen, Yankee fans talking about Soto as if he was here for 10 years and he spurned us. It was only 1 year. I didn't understand the whole hostility, animosity thing towards it. I really didn't understand it. Like I said, I was upset for a week, and then I got over it. And then I got over it because I told myself I saw this coming. Now, maybe it was easier for me because, like I said, I saw it coming. I felt it coming. So maybe it was easier for me to get over. Maybe some of these Yankee fans, it's just they're not getting over it. I don't understand why. We're playing fine without him. We're in first place without him. Just move on. Now tomorrow is the series where you make your mark. Go out, show them why they've been little brother for so long, and speak with your bats, speak with your pitching, and that's it. And then after the three-game series, I don't want to hear another thing about Juan Soto till when do they play? July?
Yeah, the 4th of July weekend.
I don't want to hear anything about Juan Soto till July
4th. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You know that.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to be Mikey Optimism.
That's fair.
I'm trying to be Joe Optimism here.
All right, so we're going to have to make your Instagram account.
I don't want to hear it until July, and just keep it that way. You know what it does? If you don't speak about it until it happens, then you get that fire. You know what I mean? If you keep dragging this dead horse through the mud for two more months, I don't want to hear about it anymore. And it kind of takes away the luster of the series. And I don't want to take away from the luster of the series because we have two good teams. Whether Soto was on the Yankees or the Mets, it doesn't matter. We're still two good teams. Build it up 3 or 4 days before. That I'm cool with. So on July 1st, when there's about 3 or 4 days before that second series, we can start talking about it again. I don't want to hear anything about it after Sunday. On Monday, yes, we're going to have to talk about it, recap the weekend. I get it. And after that, we're going to move on. They're going to play the next team, and the Mets are going to move on and play the next team on their schedule. So at this point, it's speak with your play, not your words. And obviously, there's gonna be a lot of words in the stands. So
this is gonna be an incredible series.
It really is.
This is gonna be incredible. I'm gonna be honest with you. So realistically, with the Soto thing, like I'm glad you brought up how you got over it. You're a lot more realistic, like you said. I remember your Facebook post about it that you felt he was going to the Mets, and you hit the nail on the head. I felt that way also, but it was also, I didn't want to get that optimism. I know, Mikey Optimism.
Right.
But I didn't want to do that and then expect this to happen and then be, you know, like, really? He went back.
But I did the same thing, though. I did the same thing. I told myself he's going to the Mets, that there's just something telling me he's going to the Mets. And then in the back of my head, I said, you know what? We got to the World Series. We lost the World Series. There's unfinished business.
Right.
Maybe he'll come back. He looked like he had a great time being a Yankee. I always had that, you know, the flip flop. But yeah. I was still 65-35 when it came to him going to the Mets and staying with the Yankees. So, like I said, maybe the blow lessened for me because I was a little bit more realistic about him leaving. And then when it actually did happen, I only needed a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
You know, it just, you know, it is what
and
it
that's
is.
That's the realism about it, but the non-realism and these the Instagram posts and the Twitter posts and everything that comes up about TikTok, everything that has to do with Juan Soto. Look, let's be honest here. There are the Yankee fans that cannot fathom that this happened. Even still, right. They're not right. Over it. They are not over it. They want to see this guy fail miserably. I've heard way worse. I've heard, you know, people want to see this guy have career-ending injuries and all crazy things that have been put out into the world, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
And then you got Mets fans saying we should give him back because he has.
Those were insanity.
It wasn't like you guys were like 7 games on the 500, because then I think it would be a bigger deal if you guys weren't playing so well.
If he was struggling and they were losing,
right. But yeah. The team as a whole was playing well. Your pitching has been number one in baseball, you know, and that kind of shied away from Soto's struggles. But you've literally had fans saying, give him back. I'll drive him back to the Bronx. Give us Trent Grisham. I'm like, you know
right.
What?
These are the fans that literally know nothing. Because here's the realistic thing about it. Juan Soto has, not to the Lindor aspect, like how Lindor has struggled in April in the past in his career, especially with the Mets, but Soto has been known to not really start off hot. The only time in his career he did it was actually last season.
Yeah,
and he did it with Aaron Judge, so that's fine. He hit, like, I think 313 in the month of April. Outside of that, he's hit 220. He's hit 235. He's hit 240. He's hit, well, I think he hit finished April with 260. So he hasn't been known to do, you know, start off the season hot. And these are the fans that don't know any better. You know, they don't look into this. They don't see this. They just see that he's struggling with my team. So let me get all mad. Back to the Yankee fan aspect, though. Like I said, this is the thing that they cannot fathom. And almost to me, in my lifetime as a Mets fan, I really sat back and thought about it. And this is the first time, at least in my lifetime, because I've not seen the Mets win. And that would obviously piss off Yankee fans, because it's something that we could brag about and say, and then we'll get back with the whole, oh, we got 27. Yeah, yeah, we know. Believe me, we know. But the outside of that, this is the first time the Mets organization has done something that has truly pissed off a Yankee fan. Right. And not to the degree of like, oh, we went out and signed Carlos Beltran. Oh, we went out and signed Billy Wagner. Oh, we won the division. Oh, we made it to the World Series. No, we took the biggest free agent in the last few years and probably for the next few years to come away from the Yankees. That's how the Yankee fans felt. Once he got to New York, he was ours. He was never leaving. He was never going anywhere. And so hyped up about him. And then the Mets came in and said, you know what? It's like that commercial with the dollar bill with the guy.
You got to be quicker than that.
Right. So, you know, like, that's what I felt would happen to an extent. And that the Yankee fans built this up in their head that this guy's never going to leave, the tradition, the blah, 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 all that crap that gets spewed constantly. And it didn't happen. And this is, like I said, this is the first time in my lifetime that I have seen the Mets do something that has royally pissed off that fan base. I've never seen this before. Seen this before.
And here's my thing about it, right? And listen, those fans are, I don't know those fans. I don't want to associate myself.
They think Trent Grisham is a career all-star, probably.
Well, no, but listen, the guy's playing lights out. It's been a beautiful thing to see, and it's great. How long is this going to happen? I don't know. But the guy's playing lights out, and for now, he's literally one of the biggest reasons why we're in first place. You can't even say no.
No, he's had huge hits. He's come up big in the clutch.
His on-base percentage is over 1,000. Like, his OPS is over 1,000. It's, like, unbelievable how the numbers this guy's putting up it through the first 45 games. But my thing with this is that you have to look at it now as a realistic Yankee fan. The pressure is more on the Mets than it is on the Yankees. And I'll say that because now you have everything that you needed, right? You have the pitching coach. That is he's got the eyes of gold, the hands of gold. I don't know what it
he's
is.
He's a genius.
He does pretty good stuff. But now you got to win. If you don't win in the next 5 years, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to be hard. So I could say, if you want to be a Yankee fan and try to calm yourself down a little bit, calm yourself down and say, the pressure is on them now. The pressure's always been on the Yankees to perform because nobody expected the Mets to ever be competitive. Now, I'm not saying this year. Everybody expected the Mets to be competitive even without getting Soto because of what they did last year. And Right. They'd probably still be competitive without Soto. They probably would have figured out a way to still pitch this way and win some games. But now that pressure has shifted because a generational talent left, went to the Mets, which, like you said, doesn't really happen. Right now, all that pressure is on Juan Soto and the Mets for the next 5 to 7 years in that window to win a World Series. And if they don't, there's going to be a lot of mad Mets fans. And I think you'll be one of them, because after those 7 years, you have 7 years now on the back end of that contract where he's 32, 33, and it's going to be a little tougher. Yeah, they could make moves to make the team better. He'll still be young enough to be in his prime. I'm not saying that they can't win in the back end of that deal. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's going to be a little tougher, and just everybody let it play out. Stop saying, oh my God, we lost this guy. Yeah, we lost him. Okay, big deal. Think of it like this. This is what I'm trying to tell Yankee fans. Think of it like this. The pressure is on the Mets now. And if the Yankees will win before the Mets do, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty bad.
As a Yankee fan, I don't even want to hear what they're going to have to say.
Yep. That's
But I'll just be sitting there like, holy crap, I didn't expect this, because I'm really expecting the Mets to make some noise, right?
How could you not?
They have a lot of, there's a lot of teams in the NL compared to the AL that they have to jump, which is going to make it tough. But like I said, they got to win. Go out and win now. The pressure is on you guys to win. And yeah, the Yankees got there last year, and maybe their road to getting there will be a little bit easier. Doesn't mean they're going to win it. They still got to get there. But, you know, you got teams like the Tigers, you got teams like the Royals, you got teams in the West that are playing pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, their road to the World Series seems a little bit easier, but the Mets have a lot of pressure. They have to go out and win now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I feel like you're not wrong. Yeah, there is definitely probably a pressure to this. They built I don't want to say a juggernaut, because juggernauts are unstoppable. They're not the Dodgers. We're not in that realm yet. But they're heading in that direction with the young talent, everything coming up, and the potential of the minor leagues, what they could do with that talent if they trade it, if they come up, if these guys end up being great. The future seems very bright in Queens. It does. But bright is bright until you win. And it can get dark real fast, especially in New York. I think you and I both know that.
Yeah.
You know,
like, for example, that 09 Yankees team, when Cashman went out and spent $500 million on all these guys,
yeah,
they had to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't build a team like that and not win. And they won their first year, and eventually they didn't win anything else. But they were able to win in that 7 or 8 years where they had CeCe, AJ Burnett, Teixeira. They got a ring. And it kind of eased everybody's pain a little bit. Would have been nice to get a second one. Absolutely. For CeCe and all those guys that were gamers. But I would have liked to see Matsui get another one. And Tanaka. Tanaka was another guy I would have loved to see get a ring, because he was a gamer too. But they got to win. The Mets just have to go out and win. They did everything right. Cohen has done everything right. He's put together the pieces. He's put together the correct pitching coach. They've gone out and gotten questionable arms, but they've turned them from, you know, ducks into swans, if you want to call them that. But
you're not wrong.
Now go out and do it. You have to go out and do it. I'm sorry. That's literally the last step, and that's go out and do it. Can they beat the Dodgers? Absolutely. Any given day, any team could lose. For example, the 2021 Mets, I had them sweeping the Padres. What happened?
Really?
I had them winning that series.
I was scared. I was very scared of that series, because the matchup was horrible for them.
I literally did not think that they were going to lose that
series. Yeah, no, it was horrible. The Mets couldn't hit lefties that year and missed the shiny years, Joe Musgrove.
That's questionable, too. That was
pitch lights out. Darvish always steps up in the playoffs. And, you know, they like I said, they had struggled against lefties that season.
But that team won 101 games.
And got bounced in the first round.
And got bounced in the first round. And I don't think that's going to happen to the Mets at all this year. I think they do get to the NLCS. I do.
I mean, they just got to go out and do it. They're still missing a lot of pieces. You know, now Manaea is still on the shelf. Montas is still on the shelf. Winker fairly new on the shelf. Siri went down. You know, they've had a lot of injuries, not a crazy piece, but Blackburn has been out. He hasn't been able to start this season with the Mets.
I think Minter going down for the year was something no
Minter
one
expected. Minter was a killer, so we're going to see what they're going to do. Obviously, around the trade deadline, they're going to have to get probably a premier setup guy, even though they have Stanek, but he's been shaky. He was last year as well, not even with the Mets when he was with Seattle. He still had issues, but you saw what he did in the playoffs last season, so you know, he's built for that, at least that's what it seems like. So we'll see how that all plays out there. Listen, as far as the series goes, I mean, I don't know if
I think it's two. It's two really good teams.
It is.
It really is. It's two now, really good teams.
How do you think this is going to play out? If hypothetically speaking, because we all know this is a possibility, what's going to happen in that stadium if the first at bat for Juan Soto, he puts one in the third deck?
Oh, forget it. There's going to be security better get ready.
Yeah. That is going to be
Someone's getting thrown out. Someone's getting thrown out.
Oh, I feel like people are going to be thrown out before they even leave the parking lot.
I don't even think it has to be the first at bat. If it's first at bat, it's a home run. It's
going to be bad.
It might look like one of those soccer stadiums that gets torched. People falling off the deck and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm praying. I'd rather just walk them. You know what? Welcome back. Here's a four-pitch walk. We don't want you doing anything. Now, I'm gonna be honest. I was
Go old school. Hit him in the back.
No, I was talking about this with my brother. I think they get, I don't think they're gonna pitch to him as much as everybody thinks. Or they say balls to the wall, attack him, make him feel uncomfortable. I would rather make him feel uncomfortable, but I would not be surprised if they tried to pitch around him just so he doesn't do anything serious. I think that the Mets, I think the Yankees would rather lose to Pete Alonso all weekend and get swept and have Soto go 0-for-21 in the three games rather than him have a monster series. Literally.
Something dawned on me, and I heard somebody mention this maybe about a week or two ago. We haven't seen much of a Soto shuffle this season.
And the handshakes, I saw someone say that too. They are literally fine-tooth combing everything.
Wait, I have a good one for you. What if he's been saving that shuffle for this? And he does it in the front. Could you imagine how funny that would be? That just shows that he's embracing what this crowd is going
to
do.
As a human being.
Of course.
It should be electric. He should be embracing whatever comes his way.
If that happens, if he does that, and that's why he hasn't shuffled this year, that would be the most incredible troll job of all time. It really would.
Has he really not shuffled at all?
You guys listen and correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I've seen so far, I don't think I've seen him shuffle at all this season. In spring training, yeah. But regular season Juan Soto, I have not seen a shuffle. If he does this in this series, that means he was saving it for this. And that is hilarious to me because now he's just enticing that and he wants you guys to feed on that. I've seen a lot of comments of Yankee fans saying that the whole stadium should go silent. Do you know where you are? It's New York. We don't know how to be quiet. So that's not
silent,
a thing.
Silent?
Not a thing. This isn't the PGA Tour.
Your vocal cords tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday should not work the next day.
If you're in the building for that,
you should sound like you have bronchitis. You should sound like you're talking like this because your voice is on fire.
Yeah.
You should not have a voice after going to one of those games. I'm sorry. If you come back talking the same way the next day, you've never been to a baseball game.
My first game of the year last week against the Cubs. It was the game the Mets lost. It was 6-5. The final was. I came home with barely a voice, and that was against the Cubs.
That's what I'm saying. I've gone to Yankees Blue Jays, meaningless games, and I can't talk for 3 days.
Yeah.
So tomorrow better get ready. Everybody better get ready. That's all I'm saying.
I honestly, this really just dawned on me as we were in the middle of this recording that I really don't believe that Soto has shuffled this year.
Can you imagine
if that's what he was saving it for?
So I saw somebody put, I don't know if it was an Instagram post that I saw, but they were saying that he hasn't done, Lindor hit a home run and he's rounding third. He comes home and he gives like some type of just regular, he daps up Soto like a regular dap up. It wasn't anything crazy. Then they go to an old home run that Soto hit as a Yankee, and Judge is obviously on deck. He comes, and him and Judge had this crazy handshake, slapping up and down with their hand and fist bumping and all this stuff. And they literally analyzed this, and they said he's not comfortable.
He's not
as a Met.
Okay, I gotta stop this.
What is the shuffle and a handshake have to do with him not being comfortable? Maybe the Mets don't do handshakes.
They do their little nonsense. They do whatever they do.
Yeah, but it's not as accentuated. Who gives a crap? That's what you're analyzing. Oh, he's not comfortable. He hasn't Soto shuffled, and he hasn't done a handshake with Lindor yet. Why just Lindor? Oh, because he's the captain of the Mets, and Judge was the captain of the Yankees, and he looked more intrigued with his relationship with Judge. I said, I don't know where people get this stuff. I really don't.
Let me understand this. So I'm going to go back to last season at the end. Lindor hit a huge home run for the Mets in that Atlanta series that got them into the playoffs. That was the home run of his Mets career so far.
Right.
I know I mentioned when I mentioned about the Yankees. But I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if you remember. I don't expect you to. That's fine. But that home run, what Lindor did, He didn't freak out. He didn't jump around the bases. He wasn't doing somersaults.
The same thing with the Philly.
Wasn't throwing his bat like Fernando Tatis does when he hits meaningless home runs in the regular season. He acted as if that was business as usual. Maybe it's how Lindor is operating with his team. So, and listen, these guys do what they do. Lindor celebrates at times when he has big home runs, but some of his moments as he's matured as a player, his celebrations have kind of calmed down a little bit.
And like I said, he hit that big three-run homer against Philly in game five.
Business as usual. Handled like a professional.
It was like
not flipping, not Jose Bautista, not Reese Hoskins. I'm spiking my bat into the ground.
If the fans weren't going absolutely crazy, you would have thought that that was like a regular season game.
Yeah.
The way he was acting.
Yeah. So maybe that's also a Lindor thing. But again, these are the fans that don't pay attention to much, that want to reach for, I don't even want to say the stars. I don't even know what they're reaching, lunacy, and come up with these ridiculous takes about handshakes and this and that. Then there was that other thing that fans tried to spew out there, that Lindor hit a walk-off, and they tried to say that Soto wasn't celebrating with his team.
Yeah, he wasn't there. He wasn't in the mix.
That wasn't true. I actually had people ask me, like, how do you feel about that? I was like, feel about what? It's like that he doesn't celebrate with the team. I was like, I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually have a video saved. Here you go. He is celebrating with the team. That's him right there, 22, right? Is that the number he wears? Or is that Jose Siri? No, Jose Siri. Brett Beatty wore 20. No, that's Juan Soto. That is Juan Soto. So, I mean, what are we talking about? And people believe everything they see on the internet, which is spectacular. No, but like all this nonsense, it's bringing the fire back to the Subway Series. You had mentioned it. It's been different over the last few years. I think a part of it has to do with the fact that in 2013, for some odd reason, Major League Baseball decided, you know what, the Subway Series is great and everything, and it produces a lot of money in New York, and it's a great rivalry and all this.
Let's cut two games off the schedule.
Let's make it four games.
I never understood that.
That's been the thing. It's been on and off, but more on where they just do the four games. I think that's stupid. You know, they do the 2-2 and they do the, like a whole weekend and that's it. I like it better this way. You do one in May, you do one in July, a three game. This is the way it should be.
I personally think that the Yankees and Mets should play July 4th weekend and September 11th week.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. They should always play on September 11th.
I don't know why. Yeah, that series should run into September 11th, whether it's like the 9th, 10th, 11th, or the 11th, 12th, 13th, whatever. As long as there's a game on 9-11, put the series that week or whatever it is. It could be a weekend, whatever, and July 4th. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. I think that's perfect. But
I don't Major League Baseball,
they're trying all this stuff, that this is a rivalry weekend and all this. And that's all cute. It is. I like exactly what you just said. We've spoken about that multiple times. They should absolutely play each other on September 11th. That's without a doubt. That would be interesting, though. Obviously, you would alternate year by year who's home and who's away.
Yeah, you just alternate it. And as long as they're playing each other on those two dates, it's...
Yeah, I think 4th of July weekend is awesome. And then, yeah, like you said, September 11th, no matter what the date it is, if it's a Tuesday, if it's a Thursday,
yeah, just get it done.
Have them play.
Get it done.
Yeah, that needs to be a thing. Also, like we've mentioned in previous shows when we brought up Jackie Robinson, the Mets literally have a rotunda. The entrance to their stadium is the Jackie Robinson Rotunda. Why don't they play at home on Jackie Robinson Day?
Right, that makes no sense to me.
It's just opportunity missed, you know, and this is another one of those things. That the 4th of July thing is fantastic. We're doing it this year. If you guys remember, I made a very bold prediction what's going to happen that weekend. I'm not going to spill the beans. You're going to have to go back and find it. It might have been during the Milestone episode. It was. I'm trolling a little bit.
But yeah.
Milestone episode, I made a very bold prediction about what might happen that weekend, and it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility. What I had said, what a player would need to average to get to where he needed to get to, seems like he's right in that ballpark, outside of getting really hot and making some noise. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So I'm glad that is at least still alive for now. Hopefully that comes to fruition, because I thought that was a pretty fun, bold take, and I think that'd be fun for the city if it does happen. But, you know, listen, these pitching matchups, again, Saturday seems to be a pretty big question mark, because I'm getting mixed on what that's going to be. I mean, realistically, if we're being honest here, I could see. I don't want to admit this, but you know, listen, tomorrow's game is, or tonight's game, whenever you guys are listening to it, this could be a toss up. Like you said, Rodon and McGill, they both pitched very well this season. That could go either way. Saturday, if it's what I'm seeing and it's Canning versus Schmidt, I'm going to give the advantage to the Mets and Canning, which who would have thought that? Who would have thought Canning would have been the way he was? But, you know, Jeremy Hefner in the pitching lab has been absolutely fantastic this season. And then, you know what, on the other side of it, Peterson versus Fried, two lefties. Fried has a ton of experience against the Mets, knows them very well, knows what it's like to pitch against them. But what does he know about pitching in the Subway Series? You know, so we'll see how that plays out. I mean, realistically, you could easily, this could be a 2-1 series win on either side. I think tomorrow is going to be almost how maybe game one of the 2000 World Series was, a New York street fight where one scores, the other one scores. It stays relatively light, though.
And I do think whoever wins tomorrow wins the series. That's just how I feel.
You know, look, I mean, that could be a thing because
if the Yankees win tomorrow, in my opinion, if they win tomorrow, I just don't see them losing that Fried game. I just don't. The guy's just been too good.
Yeah, how can you? I don't blame you.
Listen, at all. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a bad start. He just hasn't had a bad start yet. I mean, he pitched against a good Seattle team.
This is what we've all been waiting for. Soto is going to debut the shuffle for the regular season for the Mets, and Fried is finally going to have a bad start. That's what this is all.
Let me ask you this.
Shoot.
If Soto goes 1-16 in the series,
mm-hmm.
No concern?
Do the Mets win the series?
Let's just say for all intents and purposes, no, because he had a bad series. They don't get swept. They lose 2 out of 3. It's not horrible. It's not the end of the world. But if he has a bad series,
mm-hmm.
is this something that we're not going to be able to talk about for 4 or 5 days?
I'm going to be concerned. I'm talking about
like he's putrid. Like 1-16, couldn't get runners over in scoring position, pops a couple of balls up, maybe strikes out like 2 or 3 times in the series. What do we got?
I mean, I'm going to be frustrated because I want to see him stick it to the Yankee fans. I mean, if I'm being honest, concerned. I mean, I'm going to be concerned for the Met fans. They're going to have to be putting themselves on medication because, you know, this is going to be the heart attack of the season that Soto didn't perform against the Yankees. Overall, I mean, not really. More frustrated, more like opportunity missed, like not right. playing on 9/11, not having Jackie, you know what I'm saying? Concerned, not so much. You know, listen, at the end of the day, it's Juan Soto. You know, how concerned were you last year when Judge hit, what, 170?
Yeah, he had a horrible April, and
yeah.
I don't know, all of a sudden he woke up and chose violence in May for the rest of the year. Yeah, it's literally ridiculous. But, no, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying
right.
if it did happen, what would the media the media is going to – it would be like giving candy to a baby,
yeah.
Honestly.
No, I think it would be like giving a baby or a child the keys to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
I'd rather have 3 blowout games, like 7-6, 8-7, 10-8, something like that, where teams were just – they were going at each other's necks. Soto had a great series. Judge had a great series. Just to bring a little positivity to the conversation. Everything has been so negative, and I get it. Listen, I get it. You can't be too positive all the time because then it just doesn't work, right?
But I want him to shuffle, nod, smile, and then hit a nuke into the third deck in the first at bat because it's only going to make this series even better. It really is. And really,
I know what?
It would like be incredible. Said
before old school baseball, drill him in the damn back.
I mean, listen, I don't blame you for feeling that way, but now you're throwing at my players.
Don't get hurt. Just hit him right between the 2-2. Welcome back, bro. You know,
yeah, we'll shoot it right back at your new 2-2 and see how that feels too. I don't know. I really, this is going to be fun. This is going to be electric. Like you also mentioned earlier, the Knicks are looking to close out the Celtics in game 6.
I mean, it's great for New York. This is really a great weekend.
This is a dream. The Subway Series, Soto's return to Yankee Stadium, and the Knicks are looking to close out the Celtics on a Friday night. I mean, what more could you ask for? I guess the Rangers being in the mix, but, you know.
Unfortunately. But Honestly, it's great for the city. It's going to be electric.
I am going to reverse the question you asked me.
Okay. Now,
obviously, there's been talks and there's been blah, blah, blah about Aaron Judge and pressure situations the postseason. So I'm going to give you the same question. What if Aaron Judge goes 1-for-16 with 8 strikeouts in this series and the Yankees end up losing this series because of that, where Judge looks like postseason Aaron Judge? Do you have concern?
No, because it'll be his first major slump of the year. So he hasn't had a slump yet. So am I expecting one? Absolutely. It's going to come at some time, right, where he gets neutralized a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't see him hitting 410 in August. And if that happens, it's got to be one of the greatest seasons of all time at that point. But let's cross that bridge when we get there. I'm going to guess he's going to have a bad month at some point. You know, a bad week, month, month and a half. I don't know. Does it mean it will happen? I don't know. Does this guy go completely super Scion and just doesn't struggle all year? I don't know. But if he struggles against the Mets, you could chalk it up to their pitching. Their pitching has been good. I can't not say that their pitching hasn't been good. It's been phenomenal. They're number one in ERA. The Yankees are eighth in ERA. So you have two teams in the top 10 that are going to come to blows. So let's see what happens.
What is your X factor in the series?
Bullpen.
No, it was mine. I actually agree with you. That was mine.
If the Yankees are in a 2-2 game in the seventh, you got to lock it down. Figure out how to get the runs. Figure out how to neutralize their offense. And that's really it. And defense, actually. Making plays, not giving the Mets extra at-bats. I've said this every series. That should be the mantra for every series. Make the plays you have to make. Don't give teams extra at-bats. You got runners in scoring position offensively. Figure out how to get those guys in.
Cash in. Yeah.
Cash in. And it's the same for the Mets. You got runners on second and third, one out. You got to figure out how to get those guys in. You're in a 2-2 game and you go to your pen, you're gonna need some guys to get some big outs. And it's the same for both teams.
So
that's what I think it is. It's a bullpen and defense game.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, and listen, the Mets offense has been known to explode at times this year. The Yankees offense, obviously, they started out that way against the Milwaukee series. Would they score like 39 runs in 3 games? Yeah. 36.
So I can see both teams this weekend starting pitching be very good, and then it's going to come down to who makes a mistake in the bullpen. That's my personal opinion.
I could see that. What would make this Subway Series as a fan, not just a Yankee fan, what would make this the most electric thing possible? And how do you like moments that could happen throughout this? Like, what would be the big like takeaways from everything?
If Judge and Soto had great series,
okay.
If they lit it up, it would be phenomenal.
I have three, and I've mentioned two of them so far. No, I have four actually. So the Soto shuffle, a third deck nuke in the first at bat, Max Fried dominates the Mets on Sunday, and Pete Alonso again takes Devin Williams deep on a changeup.
Oh my goodness gracious, that would be something else.
Yep, I think those are. Listen, Soto is centered around this. This is what this series is going to be. This is Juan Soto versus the Yankees, but that's what everybody seems to focus on, and that's all fine and good.
And I would like not to cut you up, but I would like Cody Bellinger's been hitting a little bit better. I would like
he's been starting to
break out a little bit in this series too.
I mean this has a recipe to really fuel this New York thing. Mm-hmm. But like I said, everyone is looking at the focus of this is Juan Soto versus the New York Yankees, and
which it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
And this is where you get yourself in trouble. When you focus solely on one thing and you forget about everything else, that's how you get beat. That is exactly how you get beat. I'm not saying the Yankees players and coaching staff are doing that. But no. Yankee fans, listen, I mean, just to, a piece of advice. This is not just the Juan Soto show. There are other players on this
team.
That's
what I'm saying. So, like I said, Soto could go 1-for-18 in this series. And if everybody else is not going to go 1-for-18 – then what are we talking about? It doesn't matter. If you did great against Soto, but Alonso went 7-for-18, Acuna went 6-for-12. You know, if we're going to have numbers like that from other guys, then Soto playing like crap is not going to mean anything.
Somebody is going to emerge as a hero in this.
Like a dark horse. Yeah.
It's going to be somebody. So who do you got?
For me, I'd like to say Cody Bellinger maybe breaks out a little bit.
I'm going to go with Acuna.
Okay.
I can see Acuna rising to this like he's risen to just about everything else and having a very electric game, one of them.
Yankee fans may hate me for this, but I'm not going Acuna. I'm going Soto. I think maybe because, okay, I will say this. Maybe the different culture there, he doesn't look like he's having fun, but please don't take that out of context.
I know
he's having fun. He looks a little more serious this year.
Yeah.
That's a better
maybe
word.
More focused.
People are saying he's not having fun, but maybe he's being a little bit more serious. Which he wasn't not serious last year. They got to the freaking World Series last year. The guy had the best career of his year last year. So you can't tell me he wasn't serious. But he was a little more loose looking.
Yeah.
I'm trying to business, I'm trying to focus on doing well. I'm acclimating with a new team. It's literally the second time he's been with a new team in 2 years. So, you know, he's kind of bounced around. He hasn't had any solid ground. He's been with the Padres for 2 years, and he goes to the Yankees for a year. Now he's with the Mets. So he hasn't really stuck with a team for a little bit to kind of build a camaraderie a little bit. You know what I mean? So he's trying to build that there with the Mets. He's got 15 years to do it. So he's trying to build that ground. Who better than not to say that this guy goes nuts for three games? You know what I mean? He hasn't gone bananas yet,
no,
really, in any series. He's had a couple of good games. Yeah. Not going to take that away. A couple of two home run games.
Mm-hmm.
But would it be something far-fetched that this guy hits maybe like 380 for the series, hits two or three home runs, and knocks in 9 RBIs? In the three games, you know what I mean?
You know what I would love?
I would love him and Judge to do that on opposite ends. That would be great.
That would be Clash of the Titans at that point.
Clash of the Titans.
And then you mix everything else into the fact. Oldie, Acuna, Alonzo, maybe some Ben Rice action.
I'm missing Stanton for this series. Well, would have liked to see Stanton play in the series.
Yeah, that could be fine. I mean, he could be back for that series.
Just for the added firepower.
Yeah, you know what? You might need it. Him and Lindor had that spat a few years ago. We mentioned it earlier. So, I mean, that would always be fun. Obviously, Lindor is not forgotten in this series either. I mean, you know, he's relatively always had some pretty big moments against the Yankees. I know he hit a grand slam in the playoffs against you back when he was with Cleveland, the three homer game, things like that. He's come up in big moments with the Yankees too. Really, realistically, what I would absolutely love, obviously, is a series sweep by the Mets. And in one of those games, Juan Soto has a Carlos Delgado against the Yankees game where he hits three home runs, drives in 11 RBIs. That would be just poetic justice on my end. Obviously, you're not looking for that, but listen, that would be absolutely fantastic. Then all those Met fans that wanted to return him will be loving him and buying his jersey and blah, 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 all that crap. We get all the nonsense from the fans that barely know what they're saying. And, you know, I mean, half of them in that aspect, maybe not even know which way is up some of the times when it comes to certain stats and everything like that. I mean, they're focusing on handshakes and he wasn't out there celebrating. What are we talking about?
I know. I get it.
And then even the 50,000 versus one thing. Well, there's going to be Met fans there. Really? This is what we're going to dissect.
We know.
This is what we're dissecting. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, I didn't know Met fans. I didn't know they went to Yankee Stadium for the Subway Series. That was news to me upon recording this. So that was new. Maybe it was news for a few people. I don't know. I maybe have seen maybe one or two Yankee fans at Citi Field when they play each other. I saw a couple of Yankee fans at the Mets Cubs series, which was weird.
They're scouting.
Yeah, they were the Yankee fans that had names on the back of their jerseys. So I don't take them seriously when they say anything.
Those people. And you know what gets me mad about those people? Not to veer off into they put their kids in those jerseys, parents. What are you guys doing?
Guys, not for nothing. So you can't see Joe right now, but the look of disgust when he just said that.
So, and here's the worst part. So me and my brother, obviously, we have season tickets. We go to games, right? And we'll see sometimes we get these fans that they're cheering and they don't know how to cheer. You ever see those fans? They're very awkward. And they have, like, the Babe Ruth jerseys with Ruth on the back. Do we need to know who three was? You didn't know who three was? Stop. For the sake of God. And then you put your 8-year-old son in a Aaron Judge 99 jersey with Judge on the back. Did we think 99 was Gretzky? What are you guys doing? It's pathetic. Oh, you know what? Man. So how about this? I haven't bought a jersey in a very long time. And I bought an Aaron Judge jersey a couple days ago. There was a big Mother's Day sale on Fanatics. 25% off. I'm sorry. I didn't even know it. I got an email and I just kind of said, "Oh, really?" I bought a jersey randomly. I really did, and I bought a Judge jersey. Now, if you go onto the site, they promote the ones with the names on the top first.
That's terrible
because they're cheaper. They're about $40 cheaper. If you spend if you say, you know what, I'm going to go with the cheaper version, and you get the name on the back, shame on you. I don't care what your finances look like. Go and spend the extra $40 and get the jersey that doesn't have the name on the back. I don't want to veer into this because this could be another short series episode of where I destroy people for wearing jerseys. And I've made some remarks at the stadium. Like, oh, wow, you got that Ruth jersey? That's great. I didn't know he was three. I'm really glad you put Ruth on the back of that.
Oh, man. Mantle was seven this weekend.
Mantle was seven. Oh, you know what? Thanks for the reassurance on that. I didn't know Mantle was seven. Shame on you parents for putting your kids in jerseys with names on the back. I'm sorry.
I really wish everybody out there could see your face right now.
You shouldn't even get into the stadium. They should do jersey checks at the stadium and say,
jersey checks.
Until you fix this, you can't come in. It's pathetic.
It's a razor blade. Go cut their name off the back.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, I'll cut my eyeballs out so I don't have to see this anymore.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yankee fans, you see what you're doing? You see what you're doing, my friend here?
Right.
Your own kind. This is Yankee on Yankee crime, and I live for it. I love it.
And you know what? It's never going to stop. It's just going to be one of those things that it just never stops. And then they go, oh, what about the T-shirt? No, T-shirts are unacceptable. We don't wear T-shirts.
No, you know what? If I was a Yankee fan, honestly, and this would be the thing for me. Guys, I know we said this was a short. It turned out to be a long. This is Mets Yankees. This is what happens. Two New Yorkers talking about it. Here's going to be the fan that is going to piss every single Yankee fan off in the building. The dummy that comes to the Subway Series wearing a Yankees Soto jersey with the name on the back.
I can't wait.
Oh my God. I can't see that one. It's Ben Rice.
So then why didn't you just get the plain one?
Yeah.
You should have just got
the one with the duct tape over the name. If you buy the right jersey, you won't have to do that.
Yeah. You could have number 25. It was Mark Teixeira. It was Jason Giambi. It was Gleyber Torres. You could have had that jersey would fit three players. That's why it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You could have a jersey.
That is the cool part. It is.
But you put your kids in this and you're just teaching trash. It's a travesty. This is
amazing.
It's a travesty.
This is amazing. I did not know that this is where this was going to go.
Me and my brother go off. Me and my brother go. We're at the stadium and we'll talk three innings about it. Like, did you believe that this guy in front of us has a Babe Ruth jersey on with Ruth on the back?
I'm like people watching at the beach. This is amazing.
Well, when you're standing in front of me and I got to see this jabroniness.
No, I'll be honest. Like the
jabroniness.
The fake jersey thing bothers me a little bit. It does. Because like you could spot
with the name on the back, you mean?
No, not even just Yankees. Any jersey. Like I'm like a like, and I'm not talking about like replicas to authentics. I'm talking about.
But I'd rather you have a replica with no name on the back.
I mean, that's fine. Because but, like, I'm talking these fake jerseys that you could tell are fake.
That's true.
Those bother me. And listen, I get it. Everybody's trying to save a dollar, and that's fine. I'm not knocking you for it. But it's just one of those things that just like kind of gets under my skin a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, no, I get it.
I'm not on your level, but it irks me a little.
You can buy the replica, but don't get the name on the back, please.
No, you can. I even know that. I wear orange and blue. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, like, come on. But you got names on the back. It's okay. Look at where we've gone with this. My blood pressure's through the roof with these people now.
I know. We're not even talking Yankees, Mets anymore.
I know. We're talking 8 minutes about people that wear blue jerseys.
This is fantastic. No, but really, that is going to be the bonehead of the weekend. The guy who shows up to Yankee Stadium with the name on the back wearing the Soto jersey. That is bonehead of the weekend. There's going to be plenty of them. And it's I say this all the time. Like, when a guy is not on the team anymore, especially, I really don't wear the jersey anymore. I'll wear it around the house, but I really don't wear it out. Like, I get plenty it. Of those, you know. Expensive ones too, authentics. I just don't really wear them anymore unless they're like a legend, then that's different.
Right.
But you know, especially when you're playing against that particular player, unless it's like when Harvey returned to pitch in Citi Field when he was with the Orioles, it was a meaningless game in the middle of the season.
Yeah, and he was
that meant nothing, and it was what it was. But when it's like especially like a playoff game, and like now this guy play like, all right, I'm sorry to veer off, guys. I really am. We're gonna cut this soon. I promise. The short turned into a long. I don't know what's going on. We're talking about jersey numbers now. But like, all right, when the Rangers, I'm going hockey for a second. The Rangers played the Lightning. You know how many McDonough jerseys I saw, like Ranger McDonough jerseys? He's on the Lightning now.
What about the Ryan Callahan?
That's really crazy.
Same
and
thing.
I have a Callahan jersey, and I would never wear it that time.
Same thing. Same thing.
Come on.
You know how many jerseys I had that players, they lasted maybe like 2 or 3 years on the team that I had bad luck with. That's why I stopped buying them.
I try to get the old school ones now. I need a few new ones.
I was literally trying to get guys that signed big deals that I knew weren't going anywhere.
I mean, that's fair. That's definitely fair. And I took my chances on a few. It didn't work out. Last thing, as far as the jerseys go, like I'm in the same boat. I got to get a few. I need the new ones. You don't have this problem because you have no names. The players change all the time.
And the jersey doesn't change, right? The away jersey is the only jersey that changed in the last 70 years.
Me, they have changed the black. Even the black jerseys changed. By the way, bring back the white on the black jerseys. It doesn't look good. It's not bad, but the white is just so much better. But anyway, the Mets have the new away jersey, the pullover. I got to get one of those. The City Connects. I know if you guys did City Connects to be a suit and tie, we got it. you know, but you know, there's all these couple of jerseys that I got to get. I got to get the pullover. I got to get the new black one, and I got to get the City Connect. And I'm running out of. You know, I have a few guys that I want. I have about four names that I would go out and get, and one of which scares me because I don't know if he's going to be around much longer. I would love a Kodai Senga jersey. Love Kodai Senga. So
you don't think they lock him up? I think they'll.
I think they do, and I think he loves being there. But anyway, I digress on the jersey talk. We could do this for a very long time. Again, guys, I apologize. This short turned into a long.
You know what? The next time I go to Yankee Stadium, which is probably going to be, I'm either going Sunday, and I know I'm going Wednesday, Tuesday against the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely videoing somebody that has a jersey on, and I'm going to have to make a video
do
about
do
this.
Look
at this all guy. Of them. Yeah, look at this guy. He's got a number 2 jersey with Jeter on the back. Yeah, because we forgot what number 2 was.
I thought Jeter wore 12. That's on me.
Yeah, me too.
That's
unbelievable.
It's on me. Guys, listen, out in the comments.
He goes, that's on me.
Yeah, this has been a very interesting episode. Started off Yankees, Mets. Now we're talking jerseys.
I didn't know Gerrit was 4.
Thank you so much. I don't know. I mean, we're wearing pants in the summer. I don't know what's happening. But all right, realistically, guys, in the
comments, oncoming traffic. If you got a jersey on with Judge on the back, just go play in traffic. Honestly,
jeez, you're taking it to a whole nother level. I love it though. I love the intensity, and I love the fact that you're bringing this on your own kind.
And that's how really I feel this weekend. I'm jacked up.
Yeah, I know.
And,
me too.
And don't let these people in. I don't care if there's more Mets fans in the stadium. Don't let them in. I'm sorry. Enough is enough.
Why? You need more Yankee fans in than Boo Soto when he hits one into the third deck after he did a little
shot. We got rid of the beard policy. Stop selling jerseys with names on the back. It's pathetic.
That's fair. That is a fair point. And it bothers me too. But guys, in the comment section, I guess I have another question for you outside of what do you think is going to happen in this series? Is Soto going to struggle? Is Soto going to go crazy? Who's going to, is anybody going to sweep? Is who, somebody's got to win the series. Somebody's got to win.
Wow. If Soto struggles, do we call it the Soto struggle instead of the Soto?
I think you just created something there
on my behalf.
Listen, I'm telling you, this man is going to shuffle and then he's going to hit a nuke into the third deck. I'm calling that now. Alonzo's going to hit one off Devin Williams. I see the Mets winning this 2-1.
Of course he does. You might get optimism.
Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I?
You gotta win the first two games then, because you're not beating Freed. So
maybe that's the game we take, and that made that really that's more salt to the wound, brother. More salt to the wound. How about Soto hits two off of Freed? I'll take that one.
Wow, that's
I'll take that.
Wow,
it might. I haven't looked at his numbers against Freed. I gotta look at that. But guys, what are your thoughts on this series? Obviously, we also gave you some extra content. What do you guys think about the names on the back of the Yankee jersey? I mean, you see Metro Joe getting real hot about this. So, look, as always, we love what we do, and this is why a short turned into a long. And I keep saying,
there you go.
That's going to be the title of this. Obviously, you guys know it already. You're seeing it. But like I said, as always, we love what we do. We love that we have your viewership. We love that we see the numbers go up. We love to see the comments are going up. So as always, guys, thanks for hanging out.